I guess the contradiction is both in the Yoma at the end of the Sugya, because we're not the last part of the Sugya of Sirtut. If they're discussing Sirtut vis-a-vis general Sukkim and vis-a-vis Tfilin and Mezuzahs and Sotahs, etc., we get to the last part of the Sugya, which is the halakha of Sirtut relating to Megillas Esther. So either we can view it as being a little bit of Yoma for the world cities, or a little bit of a jumpstart of next year's Purim Sugyas. So let's take a look at the 11th Rambam Kamos for a moment. We just read the Gemara quickly the other day. The 11th Rambam Kamos. So the Gemara comments on the pasuk at the very end of the Megillah, Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Amar v'tanchum v'amlam v'asi, v'lamech etzvich asirtut ke'amit eshel Torah. So at the very end of the Megillah, so the words of the Megillah have been sent to get the Klai Yisrael to confirm the mitzvahs of Purim. So the Megillah describes the words as being Divrei Shalom v'emes. So the Gemara picks up on the phrase Divrei Shalom v'emes, because the Gemara tells us that Esther is Nitna Lidoresh. That we have a right to Darshin Halacha. It's from Megillah Esther. That's what's written in Ruach HaKodesh. So the Gemara says you can Darshin Megillah Esther, similarly you Darshin Pesuk Ben Chumash. Let's just have a story written. It was written in Ruach HaKodesh with every single word, everything in nuance, to be able to derive halachas l'maisa from it. So one of the halachas that the Gemara derives from the end of Megillah Esther is Dibishal v'Emes, that the Megillah has to be Ka'amita Shel Torah. And therefore, if a Megillah is written without Sirtut, without the proper lines underneath, without the ruling lines underneath, so the Megillah is not acceptable. So the question is, what is the Ka'amita Shel Torah? What is that phantom Megillah Shel Torah that the pasuk is comparing Megillah to? So Rashi says on the spot, Ka'amita Shel Torah, Kiseikitar Atzma, Sirtut, Allah Moshe Mesina. Rashi says, but what else can a Ka'amita Shel Torah mean? What is the ultimate truth of Torah? Is it the Sefer Torah itself? So just as the Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, so to Megillah says to require Sirtut as well. The problem is that according to many Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Tam, the Sefer Torah, in fact, doesn't require Sirtut. There's no requirement of the Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the only thing that really truly requires Sirtut is a mezuzah. That was a special halacha of Moshe Sinai, that mezuzah needs Sirtut, whereas other things don't necessarily need Sirtut. So what in the world could the Gemara mean when it says, Kamita Shel Torah? So we take a look at the 12th of the Maram Kamos. So Rabbeinu Tam says, the second of the bold law is Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Lav had a Sefer Torah, Talaboy Sirtut, Allah had a mezuzah. The Korah Amita Shel Torah, Al Shem Sheish Bo Shem Yichud Malchus Shemayim. So the mezuzah is called Amita Shel Torah, because the mezuzah has the essence, the world Chavos Malchus Shemayim, the Shema Yisrael, that's in the mezuzah, that's what's called in Allah, the Amita Shel Torah. Yeah, probably for me to try to be machriya, to try to decide between Rashi and the Tam, but the simple shot in the words of Amita Shel Torah conjure up the image of a Sefer Torah. Doesn't conjure up the image of a little small mezuzah. As important as mezuzah is, somehow the words of Mishnah Torah sound a little bit more like Rashi. So what prompted Rabbeinu Tam to say this? So Rabbeinu Tam almost like turned the Gemara upside down to say that Mishnah Torah doesn't refer to the Sefer Torah proper, because Rabbeinu Tam said Rashi's pshat is very, very difficult pshat. The chay nira. The Ibn Sefer Torah to the Bishop of Kudris, had the paslid and hasam per beis of Megillah and difter of Shlom Vidyo. The Ashi Ksiva Ksiva, it's when he calls for Sefer Vidyo. So comes Rabbi Adam, makes reference to a Gemara on the test of Maseches Megillah. The Gemara goes through the details. What are some of the necessary requirements for Megillah to be written on? So the Gemara says it has to be written on cloth. If you write it on difter, a difter is an unfinished parchment, just an unfinished animal skin. If you write it on something that's not halachically cloth, it's not acceptable. And if you write the Megillah without something that is halachli dio, it has to be the black ink, it's not acceptable. It's pretty much taking on all the rules of Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, how do you know that a Megillah has to be written on cloth? And how do you know that a Megillah has to be written with black ink? One would have expected the pasuk Divrei Shalom Emes to pop up. One would have expected the Gemara to say, it has to be Kamita Shel Torah. So Tosa says it doesn't say that. There's another pasuk. It says tichtov. It says ksiba here. It says ksiba over there. It says shava. Oh, chagad, your whole story. How do you know these halachas concerning the Esther? What happened to the drush of kamita shel Torah? That's Tosa's first question. Then Tosus asks points out another question. If you take a look at the 13th of the Mamakamos, so the Gemara Megillah says, Amr Bichalbo, Amr Bichalbo, Megillah Nikre Sefer, Vidikre Sigeres. That a Megillah is called the Sefer, Vidikhtav Sefer. It's also called, it's Geres Apurim, it's called the Geres. So Nikre Sefer, Shem Tafra Bechute Pishab Sula. Nikre Sigeres, Shem Hitta Bashlash Chute Gim Shera. Says the Gemara, the imagery of a Sefer, and the imagery of the Geres is very, very different. A sefer is a halachic concept. It's got to be a sefer, like I said, the Torah. It's got to be all the details of the halachas. Igera sounds like a picture postcard. like I said, the cook leather, you know, very choppy, very, very messy, sloppy kind of a message home. So, what is a Megillah? A Megillah is a strange thing. It has different aspects to it. On one hand, it's called the sefer. On the other hand, it's called the Igera. So, the Gemara once again learns that halachas from this and is following in what we said. That the Pesukim and the Megillah are very, very Meduyah, and they're written Baruch HaKodesh, and they're there to teach us halachas, and therefore, the Nichtov B'Sefer teaches me that you have to have some Gidin, you have to sew up the different parts of the Megillah with the sinews, with the Gidin, the same way you do with the Sefer Torah. It's called the Negeres, that you don't need all of those Gidin. You have a few Gidin here and there, and it's not completely totally put together like the Sefer Torah, so that's also okay. So comes Tosfos and says, I don't understand. We're looking for all these halachas that compare Megillah to a Sefer Torah. How do you know that a Megillah has to be written on cloth? And how do you know it has to be written on black ink? And how do you know that you have to sew it up? We're looking high and low for Pesukim to teach me that Megillah Esther is subject to the halachas of Sefer Torah. So, according to Rashi, like good morning, here's the pasuk. Divrei Shalom, the MS. The same way you just told me that Megillah requires Sirtut, like a Sefer Torah. You, Rashi, said, Kamita Shotar refers to Sefer Torah. So that should be the end of the discussion. What are we wasting time in Megillah? That's your test. All over the Megillah. For different sources, different characteristics of the Sefer Torah that spill over to a Megillah, according to Rashi, isn't there an absolute rule, an absolute requirement? Megillah is like a Sefer Torah. L'chol dinei Megillah. So it says over the time, you see that that's not the case. You see that there is no such comparison. There's no such halacha that a Megillah with a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, Divrei Shalom be'emes. How can we chat about that part? It's talking about mezuzah, it's talking about details, it's not talking about cloth, it's not talking about gidin. There's no gidin on a mezuzah. This is not even written on regular cloth, it's written on a slightly different kind of cloth. It says, Rebbe Natan, there's no such requirement called Megillah equals Sefer Torah. So we have a major machlokes between Rashi and Rebbe Natan. You take a look at Megillah Esther. And you want to know, is this a chavtza like a Sefer Torah? So all the Sefer Torah carry over. It needs sirtut like a Sefer Torah. It needs this like a Sefer Torah. It needs everything like a Sefer Torah. Do I say, no, it's not a Sefer Torah. It's a Gary. It's not a Sefer Torah. It has one or two coincidental comparisons. But Ikaron, it's not really a Sefer Torah. And therefore, Kabit Nishon Torah cannot teach me that it requires sirtut.
Ben Rav, Ben Lefam, Ben Rashi. Are they agreeing that it's, the Rabbanim, or is one saying it's more than the Rabbanim? And if it's the Rabbanim, if it, the Dieved, someone caught or read it, and it didn't have all these characteristics, you know what I'm saying?
It's definitely a mitzvah Rabbanim. There's no question that Chris Miller is a mitzvah Rabbanim. We spoke on the Wednesday night show last week. Even though Chris Megillah is not in the classic sense of Mitzvah D'oraisa, it doesn't appear in Chumash, it was given to us 1,000 years after the Torah was given, but it may have certain Chumash like D'oraisas, only because it's written in Kisvei HaKodesh, so it's a Tanakh, so it could be it's a little slightly higher than a regular D'rabbanan. And the Rambam doesn't even think that. The Rambam says Chris Megillah and there is Chanukah in the same breath. The Rambam doesn't believe there's any difference between the two.
Right,
would one be Yotzi B'Dievin? No. If Megillah's Psula, wasn't that Yotzi B'Dievin? So if the Megillah doesn't have Sirtan, it doesn't have cloth, whatever the details are, the Megillah's no good.
There's no B'Dievin.
So we have a major machlokes between Rashi and Ben Adam. Just how serious do we take this equation of Megillah having all characteristics of the Sefer Torah? So Rabbi Ben Adam said, no, Ben Adam, that's not true. There are really no characteristics of the Sefer Torah. According to Ben Adam, there's no Pesuk, no Drasha, no Teshuva, nothing that compares a Megillah to a Sefer Torah. There's a quirk of a halacha, that's that black, that's that cloud, here and there. to say that a Megillah equals Sefer Torah in any shape or form, according to Ben Adam, is just not a true statement. According to Rashi, it is a true statement. According to Rashi, that's exactly what the Gemara means when it says the Rishon, the MS, can be the Rishon Torah. But we have to understand within Shittas Rashi. Rashi says that all the halachas of Sefer Torah carry over to Megillah. It's not true. Proof positive, even according to Rashi, we need drushas to tell me the others. We need a special drusha to tell me that it has to have klaf, and a special drusha to tell me that it has to have dio, and a special drusha to tell me it has to have gidin, has to have the sinews. So even with the Rashi, it's not true. There is no absolute comparison of the chol dini haTorah. So what's going on according to Rashi? According to Benatam, life is very easy. According to Benatam, I'm coasting. Megillah Sefer Torah, a big sign on the board says inequality. You know, there's no comparison. Sefer Torah has its halachas, Megillah has its halachas. Once in a blue moon, you find there's a couple of quote-unquote similarities, but it's not an equation. It's not the same. According to Rashi, if it's fundamentally the same, so why is it that in some areas, it's not quite the same? Manishtana, that vis-a-vis Sirtut, it's the same. Just as the Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, so too Megillah needs Sirtut. So Megillah is compared to a Sefer Torah for Hilchas Sirtut, for the underlines. But it's not per se compared to the Sefer Torah to klaf, to dio, to gidin, etc. What is the difference between the halachas of sirtut and the halachas of klaf, gidin, and dio? That's really the fundamental question of yourselves. In terms of lumdus, how come some of the halachas of Sefer Torah carry over and other halachas of Sefer Torah don't carry over? That would in itself be a right. That's almost like a late dindra abana. That applies to other things, other kisra kodesh also. It doesn't necessarily be Sefer Torah. So that's the real question. The longest question for Shushan Purim is what is the nature of this distinction according to Rashi? That Sirtut's kind of in its own world. So Sirtut carries over from Sefer Torah, whereas the other halachas of Klaf, Tio, Gidim, all the above, don't carry over from Sefer Torah. So how do we understand the Pshat? So the Brisker Rav, we're not going to have time to read the entire Brisker Rav, even though we have a lot of time in our hands, so it's a long Brisker Rav. We actually both. Yeah, I think we only put half it on. Oh, no, the other half comes on the top, okay. So basically, the Brisker Rav develops the following in classic, true Brisker style. So the Brisker Rav begins opening up the following episode. There are two halachas. That says the Brisker Rav, there are some dinim that emanate from the cheftza of a Sefer Torah. If anything else under the sun can be a cheftza, Sefer Torah can be a cheftza also. There's a cheftza that is the object, the item of a Sefer Torah. And the cheftza of a Sefer Torah has certain halachas that govern it. Not all that different then. There's a cheftza of a sukkah, there's a cheftza of matzah, there's a cheftza of a get. All halachic items that are used in the Sefer Torah are those which have objects to them. They didn't go in the chetza. There's a chetza of a Sefer Torah. In addition to the notion of a chetza of a Sefer Torah, there is a halachic concept called divrei Torah. The intangible words of Torah are also considered to be a halachic entity. It's not the chetza of a Sefer Torah. Now, it happens to be when you have a Sefer Torah, you have both, because you have that halachic item, an halachic object, which is made up of cloth and yo and words written in a certain manner, and everything spelled properly, and everything placed properly. So all those halachas govern the chefts of the Sefer Torah. You happen to have, when you open up the Sefer Torah, you start reading Brachos Baruchim, you are reading the Divrei Torah. So every Sefer Torah has the Divrei Torah. So says the Brisker Rav, now we have to fine tune as follows. This halacha of sirtut, the fact that something requires lines underneath it. Yeshlach or raise a chakira. This halacha of Ashmasina that we've been talking about for the last couple of shiurim, that you require sirtut when you write such and such. What kind of halacha is that? That halacha of sirtut, is that a halacha that stems from a chavtza of a Sefer Torah? Or is that a halacha that stems from mere divrei Torah? Divrei Torah tzrich and sirtut. The words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the words, whether the Chumash, whether the Nach even, whatever is with Kisvei HaKodesh, the Divrei Torah of Kisvei HaKodesh requires sirtut. Not because it's part of a cheftza per se of a Sefer Torah. The Chorah, one of the proof positives is our sugya. We started out in the Masechet Gittin, and so we got into this complicated sugya altogether. The Gemara starts talking about sirtut when you're writing psukim in a letter. So one of Meir is writing a letter to his friend and writing a pasuk from Yoel. That's how we got this whole ball guy in the first place. He's writing a couple of words of Yoel, and the Gemara says, boom, you have to have sirtut. It's a chavtut for the secretary. It was a picture postcard that had a couple of psukim from Yoel on it. That was the din of sirtut. Why? Because sirtut is not neveya. Sirtut doesn't emanate from something being a chavtut for the secretary, but al haruch secretary. Sirtut is a din of divrei Torah. Anything that's toifes on it, a din of divrei Torah, al zeh nemar the din of sirtut. So comes to Pesukei Rav and says, if you look very, very carefully at the Lashon HaRam, I'm trying to see where else we can find it in a second. We take a look at the page 6 of the Maamar Kamos. We take a look at the beginning of the set of the second paragraph of Hinei B'Rambam. If the Tzatzuch is Megillah, so Hinei B'Rambam. He quotes a Rambam, Prag Beis Nuch is Megillah Lachates. Ein Kos Fidus a Megillah, El Abidyo, Alagvil, Alaklaf, Kisef, Kisef, Torah, Utsricha Sirtut, Kitora Atzva. The Ein and the Feras, El Abidin, Kisef, Torah, Akansha. Notice the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam quotes you three halachas. He starts out by talking about the din of Dio and Gvil, and he says they're compared to a Sefer Torah. In the second line, the Rambam says, by the way, it needs Sirtut Ketorah Atzma. Notice the word that's missing. The word Sefer is missing. And the Rambam concludes, V'emnit Feres El Begidin. And once again, the word Sefer comes back to life. Kisefer Torah. So 99.9% of the people would read this Rambam and they would go, okay, great, Mr. Rob read the Rambam and notice there's a word missing in the middle. Rambam had three different statements. The first statement, he spoke about the comparison to Sefer Torah. The middle paragraph, he left out the word Sefer compared to Torah. And the third line, the Rambam compares it back to Sefer Torah. Says the Mr. Rob, the Rambam was medayeg. Every single word, what the Rambam did say, what the Rambam didn't say. What the Rambam is highlighting here is so obvious, says the Pesukei Rav, that there are some halachas of Megillah that are patterned after a Sefer Torah, and there are other halachas of Megillah that are patterned after Divrei Torah. So is a Megillah a Sefer Torah or is it Divrei Torah? So comes the Pesukei Rav and explains, it depends what kind of halachas you're talking about. The halacha of Sirtut has nothing to do with a Sefer Torah. Even though the Rambam happens to hold that Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, it's not because of the Sefer, not because of the Chavtz of Sefer Torah Shabel. The reason why a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut is because of the Divrei Torah Shabel. And therefore the Rambam holds, in effect, like Rashi, the Gemara says, Melamed, that Megillah requires Sirtut, Ke'amita Shel Torah. Amita Shel Torah does not mean, the Drash Amita Shel Torah does not teach me anything about the din of Sefer Torah Shabbat. That's not what the drasha is all about. But Amita Shel Torah means just as the words of Torah are truthful, there's embest to the Divrei Torah. Who's talking about a Cheftz? I'm talking about Divrei Torah. So too, Megillas Esther is like the Divrei Torah. All those halachas that emanate from being Divrei Torah carry over to Megillah. All those halachas that do not necessarily carry over. Now, it happens to be a leave of the MS. There are comparisons between the Chavtz of a Sefer Torah and Megillah, vis-a-vis Gidin, vis-a-vis Klaf, vis-a-vis the Dio. So it's true, there are certain halachas that do spill over, but that's not what Amita Shel Torah means. The drasha of Divrei Shon the MS was given to us as follows, Melamed Shetzricha Sirtu Ki Amita Shel Torah. All the halachas that are revolve around this, the parsha of the sugya of Divrei Torah, Megillah is Divrei Torah. Is Megillah a Cheftzifin Torah? You gotta learn other sugyas to figure that out. So, according to the Pesukei Rav's deal in the Rambam, and it says it's in Rashi, so I have to go back for the third time, back to the 11th of the Rambam Kamos, where it says Divrei Shalom MS, Amr Bitan Chumabla, Yasi Melam Shetzricha Sirtu Ka'amita Shel Torah. The word Amita Shel Torah means the Divrei Torah aspect of Divrei Torah, which carries over to Megillah. It does not refer to the Chavta Shel Sefer Torah. Says the Pesukei Rav, I'll prove to you that we're right, that the Rambam and Rashi is right, that a mitzvah shel Torah refers to the divrei Teshuvah, not to the chetz Teshuvah. So there's a Yerushalmi. We've quoted this Yerushalmi without quoting it yet in the sugya. There's a Yerushalmi that says, how do you know that you can darshan psukim in the Megillah? How do you know it's a mumbia thing? We open up Megillah's Esther and we're given drashas. We're learning halachas. We're learning drashas. We're not just like sugyas. What we do to Megillah's Esther, we don't do to any other sefer at all. To the, take a look at the second Megillah. There are 10 blot of the second Megillah with drashas galore about every single pasuk Megillah's Esther. We would never dream of doing that to every other pasuk in the view books of him. So, my eye, how do we know that we have a right to do such a thing? So comes the Rishami and says, Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Kishem she divrei Torah nidrashim. Kach Megillas Esther nidrashas. That we have a right to darshim Megillas Esther. We can get milk, everything out of the pasuk, every single drasha we want out of Megillas Esther is a valid interpretation. Megillas Esther is written at the Nazal level of Ruach HaKodesh, that we have a right to darshim halachas and the drasha, like that, as you name it, we can darshim out of it. Same pasuk, Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Says the Biskarav. That idea that we can darshan Megillas Esther, that has anything to do with Chepta Shel Sefer Torah? Darshaning Megillas Esther means that the words of Megillas Esther were written there in a certain manner. They were dictated by the Mishmarach, they were written by Ruach HaKodesh, they were written with that understanding, that depth of understanding of that the Divrei Torah, just as the Divrei Torah can be darshan, so Megillas Esther can be darshan. So says the Biskirav, these words, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, Malame, that Megillas Esther is like Amita Shel Torah. Amita Shel Torah is not talking about what parchment you read it on. Amita Shel Torah is not talking about how many sinews you use. Amita Shel Torah is not talking about what color ink you use. None of that has anything to do with Amita Shel Torah. Those halachas may be true. They're based on Ksiva and Sefer and Maisla, maybe 100 drushes, why they're true. But if you're just focusing and just zeroing in on the words Amita Shel Torah, Amita Shel Torah do not address the Chefza, when you're holding that Megillah in your hand, doesn't this get a Mitzvah Torah? Mitzvah Torah are the words, Mitzvah Torah are the concepts, Mitzvah Torah are the drashas, and Sirtut is a function of a Mitzvah Torah, because Sirtut is a Divrei Torah, not a Divrei Chefza. It's not Brisker Rav, Mamashif, that's what they did in Purim and Brisk. They sat around in two halachas, the Megillah to us, Divrei Torah, Chefza Shel Torah, he said, yeah, Rashi's not filling in all the bris guy. Rather, Rashi give try to give a chat in the Gemara. Right. Rashi doesn't say anything.
And if under this
circuit
is the function of Divrei Torah,
so
why do we need a special halakha
once we see what it is? That was the same question that Tosos asked. Tosos said that even if you hold that you need Sirtut Gemura by everything, we still don't know yet that it passes with the Evan. That was Tosim Masechta Sotah as a kasha. Tosim the chiddush is even you need it. But push comes to shove, I didn't do it. How do you know that it's possible? So kamash b'lado, we see that it's mamash possible. So this sugya, although this was really the end of the first parak of sugyas of Gittin, this is definitely the segue into the second parak, because the second parak we're about to embark on for about a minute or so before having starts. The second parak we're going to begin with sugyas of ksiva. We know that there are really two different parts of a get. There's the ksivas I get and there's the nesivas I get. So many of the sugyas we're going to be discussing at the beginning of the second parak are going to be revolving around the notion of ksiva, and particularly how ksiva relates or doesn't relate to other areas of ksiva in halacha. So for example, there is a din of ksiva by the Torah. There's a din of ksiva by tefillin. There's a din of ksiva by mezuzah. There's a din of ksiva by Megillas Esther. There's a din of ksiva by Shabbos. So how much, if any, are those different areas of ksiva going to impact the definition of ksiva get? So this is a very, very common style in sugyas. We have a halachic concept. It's a lemoshel hilchos Shabbos. When you learn a sugya bishul on Shabbos, you can't learn bishul on Shabbos without learning bishul of Korban Pesach and bishul of Bishul Akum and bishul of Bos Mecholav. So to over here, you can't learn ksiva on Gittin without having a background of ksiva in other areas. Let's just start. The first of the Maimakomos, we consider we learned 30 blot today. We started enough up, now enough your test. It's a pretty productive day. So the mission begins in the second parak of the second. It's not the first mission in the parak, but for our purposes, it's going to start there. The mission starts by Kol Kosfim. You can write a get in whatever you want. Bidyo, you can use black ink. Besam, besikra, bekumkum, kankantum. These are all different colors, different kinds of ink, red ink, green ink, blue ink, purple, whatever it is, everything is fine. So this is right away one area that Gittin parts ways with everything we've been talking about until now. We learned that a Sefer Torah, there's halacha Moshe Messina, has to be black ink, and tefillin has to be black ink, mezuzah black ink. If you decide you want to write a red, a little different this year, right? A green Megillah Esther, that's possible. You can't be Yatzim B'Diyeva with that. So unlike all of the above, by get everything is different, and all the colors are acceptable. But the Mishnah says one thing is not acceptable. It has to be b'chol davishu shel kayama. It has to be something that is shel kayama, that is permanent, something that's going to last. Ein kosvin lo b'mashkiv lo b'meteiris. You cannot write a get with fruit juice, and other kinds of things. Lo b'chol davishu enem iskayim. You cannot write a get with other kinds of items that don't last very long. I remember when I was a kid, maybe we should have publicized when I was a kid. I remember we used to sometimes play tic-tac-toe on the bottom of a, maybe had like a plate of a gravy or something left in the bottom of the shop. But it was Mutter Shabbos, that's a different story. But we were trying, you know, with a finger on the tic-tac-toe. So if you take some chicken gravy, you take some fruit juice or something, and you write Haret with Tessa, oh, that's not going to fly. That's what Mishnah says. It has to be permanent. So this is one example where already we're seeing certain similarities, certain differences to other areas of Ksiva. Then the Mishnah continues. You could write again on whatever you want. It doesn't have to be on cloth. So this is, once again, this is not Sefer Torah. This is not even Megillah, not Tefillin or Mezuzos. What could you write again on? Ala kol kosvin, ala ola shel zayis. You could write it on a leaf of an olive tree. Yala keren shel para. You could write it on the horn of a cow. Finosin ala para. As a para, you have to give it the whole cow. We'll talk about why you can't cut the horn off a little bit later on. Al yad shel eved. You want to write it on the hand of an Eved Kenani, if you know Slo's Eved, give it the whole Eved. You can do that also. And then Rabbi Yosef really may disagree with some of those Kudas. So the bottom line is that the Mishnah is telling us that the halachas of Git are absolutely identical to Sefer Torah? Clearly not. Is there a certain similarity? Are there certain limitations? Possibly yes. And the first sugi, the only Mitzvah we're going to need to tackle, is the sugi of Ksivish Enemes Kayemes. When you have letters, you have writing that's there, I can read it, but it's not going to last very long. So what is the nature of that halacha? How does that impact the Shabbos and the Gittin? How do you define it in Miskayemus? What if the ink is Miskayemus, but the background is not, or vice versa? So we have a lot of details to try to figure out, begin to understand the very ABCs of the Dinner of Siva that kick off the first of the sugyas for us in terms of the second part of Miskayemus.
Rebbe's issue tonight?
That's a good question. Okay, I have to have just put together some. The winner without my folks, I'm not sure. But I'll put together something like that.